Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Well, hello, everyone. Kelly here. Thank you for joining me today. We've got a topic to review that's really it's relevant to all of us, and perhaps it's one that you've heard before, and that's the value and importance of sleep, especially for children, but it's also important for us as adults. Now, experts are warning that chronic sleep deprivation is becoming a crisis, and a large reason that they're identifying this is that chronic lack of sleep has been found to have a direct causal effect on mental health. Now, but what I want to do today is to connect this sleep deprivation with our children and teenagers' spiritual health. It's not hard to see that a young person who is sleep deprived and is suffering from anxiety, mood swings, and impulsivity will not be a young person who is reading and studying their Bible, or someone who is eager to share the gospel with a classmate at school, or who is humbly serving others, right? There's a connection between poor mental health and spiritual apathy. And the reverse, you could also say, is true when we go through spiritual struggles, trials, maybe sin or doubt, that can lead to worsened mental health symptoms such as anxiety and depression. But since chronic sleep deprivation is that emerging sort of source, this unseen source of all of this, I think that we need to examine this topic as parents. Now, first, let's talk about why teens, especially, but also younger children, why teens are experiencing a sort of famine of sorts of the necessary sleep that they need. Now, I'll first give you one of the reasons that is pushed by a lot of kind of progressive thought leaders. You'll find a lot of this online when I was researching this topic. And a lot of people say that teens are sleep deprived because of early school start times. Many are advocating that high schools shouldn't start until after 9 a.m. Versus, you know, some high schools may start as early as 7 a.m. because it is depriving teens of the sleep that they need. Now, I've not researched that intensively, but I kind of feel like, well, I mean, there's only 24 hours in a day. So if kids are going to have to be in school for 8 hours of those of the day, does it really matter what time they sleep versus what time they attend school, right? Every student has the opportunity to sleep 8 hours, whether you go to sleep at 10 p.m. or you go to sleep at midnight. It's really just a matter of how you balance your time. Now, that's one possible reason for sleep deprivation. And another one, and it's the main culprit we're all going to be thinking of, and that is the screen. Whether it's a smartphone, a tablet, a laptop computer, a gaming console, or a television, dozens and dozens of studies have shown how screen habits lead to poor sleep. Now, Peter Weigel, he's a child and adolescent psychiatrist, and he's the author of Mind the Children, How to Think About the Youth Mental Health Collapse. He wrote in an article that comes from this book, he offers 5 ways that screens can negatively impair sleep. And I think this is all relevant, things that we can relate to. So let me walk through his 5 ways. 1, kids will stay up late because they prefer to be entertained by the content on the screen rather than go to sleep. Okay, that makes sense. 2, video games and social media increases autonomic arousal, meaning that it kind of like riles them up, kind of puts them into a fight or flight mode, and that delays sleep onset even after the device is turned off. 3, many kids with personal devices lie on their bed during daylight hours in order to engage with their phone or tablet or laptop, and that deconditions the body to fall asleep in that same bed when it's actually time to go to bed. And I think this is especially true, you could say, for young college students who don't have a lot of space to kind of lie around. They only have their bed. 4, notifications wake teens up in the middle of the night. And when this happens repeatedly, the body becomes conditioned to wake up even when there isn't a notification, but nevertheless prompts a sense of FOMO or fear of missing out that leads them to check the phone every time they wake up rather than just simply fall back asleep. Other kids may plan for a middle-of-the-night awakening so they can go online while parents believe them to be asleep. Oftentimes, these kids will stay up for hours online without their parents' knowledge. And then number five, the blue light emitted by the screens at night tricks the brain into thinking it's daytime, further disturbing a teen's sensitive sleep-wake cycle. So I think that those five reasons make total sense, right? Let's not forget that a teen's average daily screen time is about 7 to 9 hours a day, and social media alone, the average is 4.8 hours of that average. So kids who have access to these devices, you know, they tend to believe this pervasive, insidious lie that they've got freedom, that they're connected, that they've, you know, they're spending time with friends, that they are gaining something better through online media than what sleep can provide. So studies have also revealed that since the introduction of the smartphone and the tablet, as well as the massive rise in adolescent social media use beginning around 2012 to 2015, that teens are sleeping less. That should not surprise us. We've kind of seen this data all around, but I actually looked up the numbers and I was kind of fascinated by this. In 2000, so 25 years ago, it was reported that 25% of teens were not getting the appropriate amount of sleep that was necessary. And when you read articles from back in the 90s and in the year 2000, there were big concerns surrounding the statistic that 25% of teens weren't getting the right amount of sleep. Well, that number jumped to 33% of teens not getting the right amount of sleep in 2012. And as of 2024, y'all know that percentage is nearly 80%. 80% of teens are not getting enough sleep. In some states, the actual average is closer to 90%. Now, you may be wondering, what is that number? What is the appropriate amount of sleep? Well, let me give you the range for all ages. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, they say that infants need 12 to 16 hours a day, toddlers 11 to 14 hours, preschoolers 10 to 13, grade schoolers 9 to 12 hours a day, and teenagers 8 to 10 hours a day. So 80% of teens are not getting at least 8 hours of sleep. Now, experientially, I know this to be true as well, not only because I raised 7 teenagers, but actually just today, as a matter of fact, I met up with one of my high school girls that I mentor, and she and her mom both offered up the reality that they were struggling to kind of get back awake early after the Thanksgiving break, that they were sleep deprived. They didn't even know that I was actually working on this podcast. And then I told them, of course, and they gave me permission to share their woes. But overall, I mean, it's a common thing, especially in the sense of not having balanced sleep schedules for every day. A lot of times we believe that we can have shorter, maybe 5-6 hours of sleep during the week. And then on the weekends, we can sleep 12 hours and that all makes up for it. Research actually shows that that is not actually good for us. Our bodies crave regular sleep. But overall, I know this to be a common theme with high school students all around. The high school students I lead in youth group often share about their sleep deprivation. And I don't think that they're saying it and sharing it with the group as a way to kind of proclaim it as like a badge of honor. I think it's actually that they know and they feel like it's actually miserable. They recognize that they don't physically feel okay because they're sleep deprived. In a way, I think that they're offering up this information about their lack of sleep as almost a cry for help, as if to say, someone, please save me from this cycle of school, sports, homework, screen time, and constant exhaustion. But the reality is no one on the outside can really help fix this. It comes down to the teen as well as the parents themselves in the home, right? We can share that wisdom. We can share the knowledge about sleep. But it takes the family unit to be dedicated to this idea of getting the proper amount of sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but like I look at all these stats and I think, yeah, we don't really need like a PhD or deep research to know that the root cause of lack of sleep, especially now that it's 80%, well, the reason is the screen. But it's also, and I say this in love, it's also us as parents, right? We as parents are complicit in that statistic of 80% of teens not getting the proper amount of sleep because we are the responsible adults who are really, we're on the front lines of fixing this. We are the ones who likely purchase the device that our kids are using at night instead of sleeping. We are the ones who are paying for the Wi-Fi, and we are likely the ones who are probably taking the brunt of their moodiness due to their lack of sleep. So it is something that we as parents can do something about, and we should be doing something about. Okay, so we know that sleep deprivation is, that's the core problem. That's the source. And screen time, we know that's a problem too. And parents are part of that problem for not addressing those sources. But we really need to know what is the actual consequences. Like what are all these problems, these deep-rooted problems actually causing in real life? So let me just review some of the physiological and mental health side effects that has been associated through research with sleep deprivation. One is weight gain and obesity. Two, insulin resistance, which we know can lead to diabetes. Three, cardiovascular complications. And what they mean by that is like one study found that there was like a threefold higher risk for elevated blood pressure in adolescents who slept less than 8 hours a night. And of course, we know elevated blood pressure can, especially when it's untreated, can lead to long-term complications, cardiovascular disease, the risk of heart attack, stroke, and other serious heart problems. Another one is diminished cognitive functioning, right? So what that means is like that sleep deprivation leads to a lack of ability to concentrate, lack of information retention, your decision-making, all of those cognitive frontal lobe type of functions, which are already still just in development when you're a teenager, all of them are diminished and impaired through sleep deprivation. And of course, that leads to an impact on academic performance. We also see that there's a decreased ability to self-regulate. So sleep deprivation diminishes self-control over one's emotions, impulses, and mood. We know this as adults. We know this because it's been a lifetime probably of times where we have been sleep deprived and we have no control over our emotions. So it looks like irritability, aggression, moodiness, impulsivity, short temper. And what I found what was interesting is that this decreased ability to kind of self-regulate when combined with screen time actually shows a link back to weight gain and obesity. There was a study in the Journal for Eating Disorders that found that for every additional hour of total screen time, there was an associated greater odds of binge eating disorder. And even more, every hour of social networking, texting, and streaming and watching TV shows was significantly associated with binge eating disorders. So a lot of these consequences are, they can tie together and compound each other. And this makes sense because more screens, less sleep, less ability to self-regulate, which then ties in to another consequence, which is substance abuse. So the teens who are sleep deprived are more likely to use stimulants like caffeine, which we all get and understand, but also nicotine to get through the day. Vaping, nicotine is a huge problem amongst adolescents. And I say adolescents, not just teens, because I hear from so many people that it's starting in like middle school when kids are like 11, 12 years old. Similarly, they are more likely to cope with sleep-related bad moods, maybe with alcohol when they're a little bit older, and they're more likely to engage in risky behaviors due to their lack of impulse control. And then finally, we have the very common, this is what we see really in news headlines and probably just experientially in our everyday life, is that decreased sleep leads to anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation. Sleep deprivation studies have shown repeatedly that otherwise healthy teens experience increased anxiety and distress levels following poor sleep, even if that's just a short season of poor sleep, not just overall. So I go through that list and we think, oh man, that's a pretty dreadful list. Those are really bad consequences, especially when they compound on each other. I think that alone should motivate us to sort of reorientate our family's lives so that we can make sleep more of a priority. But as Christian parents, we shouldn't be only considering those physiological health effects and those mental health complications, but we also need to be thinking about what happens to our children's spiritual health when they are sleep deprived, right? Our motivations can be science and research-backed, you know, data, but when they are based on the foundation of truth that is found in God's word, we are much less likely to be swayed by every wind of change in secular research and every lie that's perpetuated by culture. Every trend that comes up that we think that we need to sort of jump on, when we have our convictions based on the foundation of God's truth, we can hold fast to them much easier and better inside of our homes. So what I want to do next is lay a foundation for why sleep is both a biblical, but also a spiritual health issue. When we realize that sleep deprivation can lead to sinful behaviors, spiritual apathy, or a complete rejection of Christianity, we realize that we do need a solid foundation to stand upon as parents. Okay, so let me go through three ways that we can see that sleep is both a biblical and spiritual health issue. First, Scripture treats sleep as more than just a biological necessity. Rest is actually consistently tied to the state of our soul. So we can read in Scripture, we find that sleep is like a spiritual rhythm that has been designed by God. Now, while God doesn't need sleep, as we read in Psalm 121, right? God never sleeps. He modeled rest for us during his creation of the world and everything in it, right? We read in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So rest reminds us that we are creatures of God. And as creatures of God, we have limits, right? We are not God, because God has no limits. He needs no sleep. But we, as creatures, are limited. We are dependent upon God for everything, from the very breath in our lungs, and for the rest that rejuvenates both our bodies and our souls. And Jesus connected the state of our soul to rest in Matthew 11:29, where he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your soul." We also see in Psalm 62:1, it states, "My soul finds rest in God alone," which, side note, we have that verse available on a wristband that you can wear and remind yourself of that truth every day. You can check that out in our braveparenting.net shop. But okay, back to the biblical explanation. We also see in Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Also, Psalm 116:7, "Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." So we see there is a connection between sleep and rest and the state of our soul. Second, we can see that sleep is a practice in trusting God. One of the most popular verses that may come to mind here is Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." That stillness, which is rest, the sleep, all of that is a way for the Lord to sustain us. David says in Psalm 3:5, "I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me." And in Psalm 4:8 says, "In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So submitting to rest is trusting God to not only renew us, but to sustain us, but also, if we're honest, to just keep the earth spinning, to keep running the universe without us, right? God doesn't need us to keep everything going. He gives us rest as a gift. So when a teenager or you stay up until 1 or 2 a.m. scrolling social media or playing a video game, especially when that's on a consistent basis, that's really a rebellion against God's promise to take care of your needs. It's like saying in rebellion, I don't need rest. I can sustain myself. I must yield to my heart's desires, right? I am responsible for my happiness. And what makes me happy right now is to look at this screen. That's really the only need I have. And so that's rejecting God's loving gift of his renewal. And even Psalm 127:2 tells us that God gives his beloved sleep. I think also if we add in the FOMO, the fear of missing out, which is certainly a driving factor keeping children and teens awake at night. What is FOMO? But a fear of missing out. And fear is the opposite of trust. So really, FOMO isn't just a social media problem or a screen problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's a lack of trust in God. And third, we can see that biblically, we must be alert in order to resist temptation. The New Testament repeatedly commands believers to be sober-minded, to be alert, watchful, and self-controlled. And Peter wrote extensively on this, which if you know Peter's character in Scripture, you understand why he wrote so extensively on this. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." 1 Peter 4:7, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded that you may pray." 1 Peter 5:8, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Well, as we just saw walking through some of those physiological and mental health side effects and consequences of sleep deprivation, these qualities of alertfulness, watchfulness, and self-control, those are lost without enough sleep. I also mentioned how it may lead to risky behavior, poor decision-making, and impulsivity. These are spiritual issues. A chronically fatigued mind cannot resist temptation. They cannot focus long enough to pray or to recall scripture. The sleep-deprived mind will resist any conviction by the Holy Spirit or correction by parents and fellow believers. A sleep-deprived mind, when distress comes, they're going to be unable to make wise decisions. They're going to make poor, maybe impulsive, irrational decisions. And that mind will also be emotionally reactive and irrational, often withdrawing from the very life-giving relationships that they need and that can help them. And so what this ends up looking like is it's maybe the teenager who hasn't, you know, outright rejected following Christ and obeying his commands, but a teenager who's just spiritually numb. They're spiritually apathetic to God because they're kind of like just functioning on fumes, like the bare minimum reserves that they have. They don't have a desire for Christ or pursuing holiness because that takes energy, and they don't have the energy or the mental capacity to actually do that. But let's also consider the biblical correlation between solitude, nighttime, and temptation. We read in that 1 Peter verse that Satan prowls like a lion looking for someone to devour. And this isn't just simply a metaphor. Like, lions actually do this. They look for prey that are isolated and alone, that kind of got away from the herd. And this is precisely what we find with so many teens. They're alone, isolated in their bedroom with their phone, game console, or computer. Gosh, I can't help but think of all the young teenage boys who took their lives because they were caught in sextortion scams on Instagram or Snapchat. And the few I immediately think of, I know, all occurred at night when the teen was alone in their bedroom. And the worst part of all of this is it's not just a temptation to just stay awake for the fun of it, because the entire universe of sinful temptations are available to our teens online in their bedrooms in private, whether that be pornography, whether that be drugs, whether it be comparison, bullying, gambling, right? The internet is a portal to so many sinful vices. Let's think about the narrative of King David and how he ended up having an affair with Bathsheba. He was alone. If you remember, he should have been off at war with his armies. And scripture says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. That's 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 and 3. And we see that nighttime plus solitude almost always equals temptation. Some temptations are hard enough to resist with a healthy sleep pattern and getting enough quality sleep, right? Temptations come to us regardless of whether or not we have the proper amount of sleep. But we also have to remember that as God's children, we are Satan's enemy, and his only desire is to bring us down, to cause us to stumble, to sin, to doubt, or to just completely walk away from God. He has been doing this for many millennia, and Satan knows exactly how to do it. It's the same every time. He doesn't really have new tactics. He prowls. He waits until we are alone. Just think about Eve in the garden. She was alone, away from her husband. He questions, did God really say? And then he poses, you know, whatever it is that we're tempted with. You know, maybe he asks that, only has to ask that question once. Did God really say you can't watch this pornography? Or maybe he has to ask it 100 times before we cave. But when we are sleep deprived and emotionally fragile, his job is even easier. And this is why it's so important, as Peter says, to stay alert and watchful, to not allow ourselves to enter into these vulnerable states. Now, before I wrap up this section, we need to address Jesus' words to his very sleepy disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22, verses 45 and 46 says this, when he, meaning Jesus, arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So here, Jesus is saying, don't sleep, but pray, right? So the disciples had given into their emotional exhaustion. Jesus had just told them, right, that he was going to be taken, his life was going to be poured out, and now they're exhausted from sorrow. And essentially, the NIV commentary, he describes it like this. They just didn't want to deal with all of their heavy emotions and sorrow, and sleeping was easier to do than staying awake and praying through it. And I think we can all identify with that. When we're overwhelmed emotionally, sleep is the easiest thing to do. But Jesus here is saying, hey, now is an important time of distress. Now is the time to pray. Jesus is saying that prayer is what is going to stop you from falling into temptation, not sleep. In that moment, you don't need sleep, you need prayer. And the command to pray, just for those theology and language nerds out there, because I find this interesting, it's written in the Greek as a present imperative, meaning that it's something that was to be continually done, like for all of us, that's a command for us as well to continually be in that state of prayer, not just in that one very moment for his disciples. But to further prove Jesus' point that they needed to be in prayer to avoid temptation, you know, in verse 50, we read that Peter strikes the servant of the high priest and cuts off his ear, right? He fell into temptation. He reacted impulsively with violence. And even further, if we go into the next chapter, of course, he denies Jesus 3 times, more temptation that he fell into because he slept instead of prayed. And also, let me read verse 52 because I think it further verifies what I said earlier about nighttime. So Luke 22:52, Jesus is talking to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come to arrest him. And Jesus says, Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. See, Satan's hour is most often the hour when darkness reigns. And we need to recognize that, because darkness is when we sleep. It's pretty basic, right? And so anytime we are going to open the door for temptation during when darkness reigns, we can see that our kids are going to be much more likely to fall into Satan's traps. Okay, so let me review. We can see that sleep and rest are biblical, and that disrupting this God-given gift and time impacts our spiritual health. This is especially true for children and teens because of their stage of rapid growth and development. It makes them more susceptible to the risks and consequences of sleep deprivation. So now, knowing how important sleep is for children's physical, mental, and spiritual health, the only thing that remains is what we're going to do with that knowledge, right? So here's what we as brave Christian parents must do. And I have four little rule, I guess, guidelines, and they all begin with R. So there you go. Number one, repent of any of your own poor choices or allowances that you've permitted that have prevented your children from getting the sleep that they need. Maybe it's just a repentance of kind of like the free-range parenting style that never enforced strict bedtimes. It's okay if that was you, but maybe repent of it and start anew. Maybe you need to repent of agreeing to all those competitive sports that require so many hours a week that it takes your child until midnight every night to finish homework, right? Maybe that is a change that you need to make. Or maybe you just repent of allowing your child to have their screen in their bedroom at night. Either way, acknowledging your error before God, confessing it, and then repenting of it are always just the first steps in renewal. Repenting is a change of heart and mind, right? So that means that you're going to change the behavior. It's not just an acknowledgement, but you actually need to change the behavior. And you can do that by moving on to step two, remove. Remove all screens from your children's bedroom permanently. Permanently. The best way to avoid temptation to be on a device rather than to sleep is just not allow them in the bedroom. And go ahead and expect a battle over this. If you've already allowed it, go ahead and expect a battle. It's not necessarily going to be easy, but I'm going to say there is a 0% chance it's going to cause more harm than good. Taking the screens out of your kids' bedrooms is not going to harm them more than it's going to benefit them. Once the screen has been removed and your child or teen has had the opportunity to reset their sleep, their frustration and anger will subside because they're actually getting the sleep they need to understand the benefit and gift that it is. Also, don't just remove the devices and then leave it on the kitchen counter for the children to come out of the room and then use while you're sleeping, right? It actually needs to be locked up or closed up in your own bedroom with you, but it needs to be out of their reach. Okay, number three is to reorientate. If, based on your family and home circumstances, your child has to use their phone or laptop in their bedroom for homework or whatever, and maybe it's because you have a smaller house, maybe it's because you have lots of kids, there's not a lot of private, quiet spaces, whatever the reason, be sure that all devices are removed by a time that allows them to still get 8 hours of sleep per night. If they have to wake up at 6 a.m., they need to be in bed by 10 p.m., which means you need to collect the devices an hour earlier at 9 p.m. They need to have an hour of non-blue light screen consumption before they go to sleep. Also, reorientate your family Wi-Fi structure. Turn your Wi-Fi off at night. It is so easy for kids to gain access to burner devices and then bring them into your home, connect them to the home Wi-Fi, and voila, they can stay up all night again, sacrificing sleep for scrolling or gaming or whatever. So you have to turn the Wi-Fi off overnight. And then number four is reinforce. And this is really essential. Don't skip this. We have to educate and train our children to know why sleep is good for them physically, mentally, and spiritually. This has to be reinforced and reiterated on a regular basis. The best way to bring about change is through their desire to see the change in themselves. We want them to be able to say, yes, my goal is to get 8 hours of sleep because I know I am a better person for it. And then you help them in that. And part of our discipleship should be to show them how sleep can be a spiritual discipline. Now, I don't know anywhere that sleep is listed as a spiritual discipline, but if you think about it, I think it does take discipline and dying to self to force yourself to go to bed on time and get enough sleep each night. I know this from experience. I'm not speaking of like I have this figured out. I'm not a great sleeper. I don't get 8 hours of sleep a night. Now, it used to be that, you know, going to bed maybe a century ago was automatic. Like when the sun went down, so did everybody else, right? Now though, in the smartphone age, going to bed, it's no longer automatic. There are simply too many things to do, to watch, to listen, to play, than to bother with sleep. So we need to acknowledge this and we need to train our kids to have the self-discipline necessary to maintain a healthy sleep schedule. And until they have the self-discipline and spiritual discipline, it is our responsibility as parents to enforce this discipline, right? It's not about controlling or overprotecting or whatever you want to call it. It's about stewarding and shepherding their health, protecting their mind, protecting their soul. We've just got it so backwards as parents, really as a society. We're just convinced because we're told this, I think through the media, that the loving thing to do is to keep them happy. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. Not only are they not actually happier with more screen time and less sleep based on all the empirical research and science, but we know that their spiritual well-being, their peace, their joy, their trust, their assurance in Christ is all strengthened with proper sleep. So it's not about immediate happiness. It is about getting the proper sleep so they can be spiritually well. So a lot of this is our responsibility to train and discipline towards. And that's okay, right? That is one more thing that we have to do. But this is the work that God created us to do as parents. Contrary to pop culture, we are not created to be entertained, to be comfortable, to be pacified, to be worshiped online. If you have children, your responsibility is to parent them, to raise them up in the knowledge and discipline of the Lord. And that includes the knowledge and discipline of sleep. So I'll finish this up by quoting Dr. Paul Weigel, who I quoted earlier in his 5 ways that screens disrupt sleep. And I love how he says this. He says, quote, "Teens must be educated about the importance of adequate sleep and how screens can get in the way. Many lack the insight, perspective, and willpower to manage screen time on their own, but parents can help by setting a bedtime that allows for 9 hours of sleep per night and restricting all access to screens until morning. Often, this means banning screens from the bedroom completely, charging phones in the parent's bedroom overnight, and deactivating Wi-Fi automatically each evening. Parents might bristle at this because they want to use their devices too, but this offers a chance for parents to set an example by moderating their own screen habits. Prioritizing sleep will help children and teens lead healthy lives in this media-saturated world. Sometimes the best therapy of all is a good night's rest." End quote. Well said. Sometimes the best therapy is a good night's rest, a good sleep schedule. I love that. In the end, y'all, training and disciplining our children to get the right amount of sleep, it actually may, if you need to look at it this way, it may actually save you a lot of money in therapy and doctor's visits. And I'm also going to say medications. I'm going to tie my day job in here because I can tell you, as a retail pharmacist for 24 years, I see the impact of lack of sleep and screen time and mental health every single day. I see kids as young as 4 years old taking medications to make them sleep and then stimulants to keep them focused during the day, 4 years old. I see teenagers all the time being given anti-anxiety, antidepressants, antipsychotics, ADHD, and sleep meds. Based on what we know about online content consumed on a personal device, just in general, even if it's daytime, we already know that it's bad for them. But then when you take away the quality sleep that is needed for spiritual, mental, and physiological health, we can see that this is so consequential. Sleep is so important. The screen and its contents are already bad enough. Take away the sleep and replace it with even more of that garbage content. The problem becomes a crisis. It's what we have right now when we look at so many young people with mental health issues. Ultimately, our goal is to help our children and teens not only live healthy physiological lives, but also to grow spiritually, to have them be able to have the energy, focus, and passion to pursue Christ and to study the Word of God, right? To be able to have the emotional stability when stress comes upon them, to have the fortitude to pray during those stressful times, and then trust in God's sovereignty to handle it while they sleep. Rather than melting into a pile of unfiltered emotions, we want to see teens who get enough sleep because they're using their device as a tool so that they can then properly navigate the trials and troubles that we are all guaranteed to have. Not only can they navigate themselves, but they can be a light to the world as they help others who don't know Christ also navigate these troubles and trials. Allowing them to experience sleep deprivation and spiritual apathy without training and teaching them, otherwise it has no value, right? It's only harm. This is not a scenario where we kind of say, oh, you know, I want my kids to learn the consequences of good or bad sleep while they're in my home. It's not that, right? Like a lot of people say that about social media. I want them to learn it all and, you know, while they're in my home. But the stakes are too high. They are too high. We are talking about establishing healthy rhythms for life and spiritual health, for godliness, right? Children and teens must be shown and disciplined to walk in a way that is healthy for their body and soul from the time they are a child all the way until the time that they are adult. So my encouragement to you is as we approach the Christmas break and holidays with kids home, I really want to encourage you to use this time to maybe do a whole reorientation, reset your sleep schedule as a family. If you want to, if you desire to, make proper sleep your family's New Year's resolution, right? If your child is struggling with just anxiety, depression, or any sort of like mental health issues, make sure, evaluate what is their screen time? Is screen the problem? Is sleep the problem? A lot of times it is. And so hopefully this was an insightful podcast for you, giving you just a broad range of how sleep impacts many facets of our lives. So thank you so much for joining me today. Another episode where we unpack and expose the many ways that Satan wants to destroy our kids' faith and purpose through online media and technology. Listen, brave parenting is rarely easy, but it is always worth it. May the Lord bless you. And until next week, go and be brave.